Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Awesome. So we're continuing on with finances, and like I said last week, if the person next to you starts having heart palpitations because we're talking about finances, just pray for them. We've taken the offering, so you can relax. Amen? So it's okay. Tell your neighbor it's okay. Okay, so this morning, we're going to do a bit of a recap on certain things, and then we're going to get on into the rest of the message. But starting with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." So this is saying that we're blessed. And if you've been in our circles or in Grace Life for some time, then you would have this mentality by now, hopefully, that we're blessed. Okay, but often we get confused between blessed and prospered. And last week we spoke about how we're not necessarily prospered just because we're blessed, but when we take the blessing and put our hands to work, put our hands to touch something, then the blessing can flow and prosperity can come. And God's heart for us is prosperity. Psalm 35 verse 27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." So that says some interesting things, that verse. But firstly, it's saying that God delights in your prosperity. Now imagine, an earthly father is supposed to delight in their children's prosperity, their well-doing, them doing well, them having everything that they need and in abundance. Imagine God's heart for us and wanting the best for us. Imagine God's heart for us and wanting us to have an abundance and be prosperous. Okay, that's why it starts off by saying, "Let them shout for joy and be glad." We can shout for joy and be glad because God's heart is for us. He wants prosperity for us. He wants abundance for us. And we spoke about that last week. What is the purpose of it? Okay, but many people, as I said, freak out about prosperity when you start talking about it, especially in church. And I think the only reason why they would freak out a little bit is because they link prosperity to greed. Okay? And when we're talking about prosperity, we're not talking about greed. Okay? Greed and prosperity are not synonymous in the Bible, and they're not synonymous in the dictionary or the thesaurus. Okay? I checked it out. Google helped me there. There's no link. It's pretty much opposites. Okay? Synonyms for prosperity are wealth, success, profitability, affluence, riches, the good life, plenty, well-being, life of luxury, milk and honey, a bed of roses, prosperousness, successfulness. So many of us, when we think of prosperity, we might be thinking of ourselves, and that's why we're scared of it, because we're thinking greed. But when God's talking about prosperity, he's not only thinking about you. He's thinking about how many people he can bless through you. Okay? And he wants you blessed, but God's idea of prosperity isn't self-centered at all. It's about his bigger picture, the bigger picture, the bigger plan. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." If you missed last week, I encourage you to get the CD at the back, because I looked at that in depth, and it's really an awesome verse with regard to this. But, you know, just to touch on one point there, it's God's idea of prosperity is having more than enough. The word there in the Greek is actually excess. So he wants us to have excess in everything that we do so that we can abound. The word abound means excess. He wants us to have excess so we can be excessively generous. You know, how many of us can honestly say we're excessively generous? You know, I shared the testimony last week of being blessed with a car. And, you know, for me, the thing which we were trusting for a car, the individual who blessed us with a car didn't know that we only had one car. They thought we had two. And I think to give someone something that they, you know, that they have is excessive. So this person was able to be excessively generous. They weren't thinking about, oh, they don't really need it. They were thinking, well, this is a nicer car, let me give it to them. You know, and I think that's what God's heart is, not just giving where we see need. We must give where we see need, but also just being excessive, an excessive blessing because we want to, Because that's God's heart for us and towards us. And so out of the abundance of what we've received, we can be like that towards other people. So, you know, the idea of prosperity is that I want more so I can be an even greater blessing. If your idea of prosperity is I want more, then it's greed. We're not talking about that. When we're talking about prosperity, we're talking about being blessed to be a blessing. That still means that we're blessed, but part of the purpose of our prosperity is to be a blessing. That comes from Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. So, you know, I've heard this being said many times from different Christians, but if you just want enough for you and your family, some people have this mentality of, I just want enough just to support my family, just to look after myself, and then I'll be happy. That's greed. That's self-centeredness. That's not the biblical approach to finances. If you're satisfied with just having enough for you and your family, then you're self-centered and you're being selfish. Because God's idea of finances in your life is that you have so much that, yes, it's looking after you. Yes, you have enough for you, but you've got so much that you can be an excessive blessing to other people, into sowing into the kingdom, into getting this message to the rest of the world. Okay? Prosperity is about being a blessing. Okay? You know, you might think it's excessive for a family to have, you know, two cars, if you just think about it. So, you know, but having now two cars again for us as a family enables me to be a blessing because our schedules don't match up. And so now I can get to places to see people, to do things ministry-wise. And so, that's not excessive, but it's a blessing to have that extra to be able to be a blessing. And it's the same thing with finances. If you don't have extra, you know, you should still give, and you're giving out of a place of faith, but you know, how much more blessed to give even more above what you can give, you could normally give. Okay, so I just wanted to address, before we get into the major thing I want to talk about this morning, I just wanted to address one thing. And, you know, what about coming from a disadvantaged background? You know, what about, you know, even people who are living in huts? You know, and what about people in the bush? You know, what about prosperity and, you know, all of that kind of stuff? You know, the reality is God's word isn't defined by your circumstances. Yet we don't experience what God's word promises because we limit God's word by our circumstances. Okay, let me say that again. God's word isn't limited by your circumstances, but we often don't see the prosperity of God in our lives or any of the blessing of God, even healing, because we're limiting God's word and the fruitfulness of it in our lives by our understanding, by our circumstances. And so if you're not seeing the promises of God in your life, it's because you're limiting it. God's not withholding from you. That's good news. Okay? You can prosper wherever you are in whatever context, no matter what your background is. It might look different in different contexts. Might look different, you know, to prosper here than in Albania. It might look different to prosper here than in Zimbabwe. But it's prosperity. Prosperity is having enough, more than enough, being an excessive blessing, being excessively blessed. That is God's standard, whatever the context is. Okay? It doesn't mean that you're a Bill Gates. Okay? It might mean that for you, but it doesn't mean that for everyone. Prosperity is defined differently according to where you are, according to your context. But God's word will prosper you wherever you are. That's the point. Okay? So don't limit it just by what you're experiencing. You know, last week we looked at it. To see prosperity manifest in our lives, we have to realize a few things, okay? Or we have to do a few things. We have to see ourselves as blessed. We have to trust God. And then we need to release that blessing by putting our hands to something. Because whatever He blesses whatever we put our hands to, okay? The interesting thing, if you think about everything that we've looked at in the series so far and what we're going to look at today, is that prosperity and blessing, or let me say it like this, God isn't rewarding us with prosperity. Okay? In our performance culture in the world and in our performance mentality in religion, we have a performance-based mentality where if I'm doing the right thing, God's going to bless me with prosperity. But that's not true. Okay? It's the grace life, Christianity. It's all about what He's done for me, not what I can do for Him. Okay? He doesn't reward you according to what you've done good or what you've done bad. Amen? It's grace. It's mercy. Thank God He doesn't reward us according to what we've done or haven't done. Because, you know, we'd all be in big trouble. As good as you think you are, you'd be in deep water. Okay? He doesn't reward us with prosperity. We've got the moment you receive Christ and you're a Christian, you've got the blessing of God inside of you. Full stop. Then the scripture promises that if you put your hand to something in faith, the blessing flows and prosperity comes. Which means that God's not rewarding you with prosperity. God's not withholding prosperity from you. You are. Okay? So if I don't put my hand to something in faith, and in faith is the key, if I don't, then the blessing can't manifest in prosperity. If I'm not giving in faith, I can't see a return on that. If I'm not receiving, I can't receive. It's by grace through faith that we are saved. Grace, it's a free gift towards you. Blessing, you're blessed. Now, by faith, you put your hand to something and you see the blessing manifest in prosperity. Why are some people prospered and some people not? It's not God's decision. He's not the one who wishes poverty on people. He's not the one who wishes wealth on people. Okay? He's put His blessing inside of you, and when you put your hand to something, that blessing flows and prosperity comes. Okay? That's good news. That's good news because that means it doesn't matter how clever you are. It doesn't matter what degrees you've got. It doesn't matter what social context you're in. All that matters is that you are operating in faith and that you put your hand to something in faith. We can all put our hands to something. You've got gifts, talents, and abilities inside of you, which if you just put your hand to it, you might be doing something and it's not working. Try to do it with God in faith. Maybe you're not, you know, just seek God and find out if you're doing the right thing. But do something and trust God. Okay, so one of the first steps to prosperity is really to have the right understanding of it. And that's what we're doing through this series, is trying to present the right understanding of it concerning finances. How do we deal with finances? What is God's heart towards us with finances? Okay, for example, we need to see Him as Father. We kind of talk about God as Father, but then when it comes to finances, we kind of seem to think of Him as something else. You know, not God the Father, but the Godfather, where you're paying Him to look after you. It's not like that. He'll look after you whether you pay Him or not. You can't pay Him enough to look after you. You can't pay Him enough to provide for you. He provides for you because He loves you. Okay? But we're going to look at one of the understandings that we need to have with regards to finances, and it's that of stewardship. So Luke chapter 16, from verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, He also said, oh, this is verse 1, yeah. He also said to His disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. Now, a steward is a manager, okay? Another translation puts steward as an accountant. So, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought against that steward that the steward was wasting his goods. So the master called the steward to him and said, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account for your stewardship, for your management, for your accountancy, for you can no longer be my steward. In other words, you're fired, and I want to report. I want to see what you've been doing with my money. Okay? Now, the first thing that I want us to see there is, let me say it like this. The world has a certain way and a certain pattern. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 shows us that. And God's kingdom and the Word has a certain way and a certain pattern. You're either following the pattern of this world and conforming to the pattern of this world, or you're allowing God's pattern to transform you, which is the Word. And so some of the things I say this morning might challenge you because you're thinking according to the pattern of the world. I want to encourage you to change your pattern, okay, by starting to accept what God's Word says. Now, the world will say that everything that you have is yours. Okay, but what the scripture shows us is that we're stewards of what we've got. We're managers of what we've got. It all belongs to God. Now, the good news is, and even better news is that God is our Father, and the scriptures in different places show us that everything belongs to us. So it belongs to us, but we also need to be wise stewards of what we've got. Okay, it belongs to God, it belongs to us, but we need to steward it well. Okay? If you don't steward something well, it can be damaged, it can be lost, it can be destroyed, and then you got nothing. So we need to steward what we've got well, not just be careless with it. Okay? But we are, everything that we have has been entrusted to us by God. It belongs to us because God is our Father, but we also need to realize that we need to steward it well for God and for ourselves. Okay? We need to see ourselves as stewards, not owners. Although we are partakers, although we have ownership in it, it belongs to God first. And so we need to see ourselves more as stewards, as managers, than as owners. Okay? And like I said, a steward is a manager, someone who takes care of someone else's affairs. So we're here to take care of God's affairs. Okay? Your business isn't your business. Yeah, that's what we're basically saying. You're managing or directing your business for God. And if you were to accept that, your business would run much better than it probably is running. Yeah, how would, if look at it, if you're a business owner, think about it like this for a moment. Okay, if God is the director of your company, how would he treat you as an employee? Because I think some of you are probably treating yourself worse than God would treat you if you allowed him to lead you. I leave it there. So, yeah, your business isn't your business, your money isn't your money, and I think I believe the first step to prosperity is realizing that God is the owner and I'm managing it for him. I'm looking after it for him. I'm a steward for him. This means we've got to trust him because he loves us. We can trust him. Okay, he might be a bit more lenient on you than you are on you, even just with time off. But the thing is he knows what's good for you. You don't. You think you know what's good for you, but he knows better. Okay, so we can trust him. Follow his leading. Look at verse 3. Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do?" Now he's just been fired. He has to give a report. And he's like, "What am I going to do? My master's taking the stewardship away from me. He's firing me. I cannot dig and I'm ashamed to beg." Okay, now this reveals a lot about his attitude and reveals a lot about the situation. Firstly, he had misused his master's money. Okay? What did he do with that money? We don't know, but one thing we do know is he blew it. Whatever he did, if he probably ate it, he wined and dined people, I don't know, but he doesn't have any savings. Otherwise, he wouldn't be worrying so much. He didn't save his money. He didn't do anything good with the money. He just blew it. Okay? That's what this scripture is revealing about him. He didn't have any assets. He didn't have any savings. He squandered it all. That's not a good steward. Okay? His words reveal that he knows he's guilty. And he didn't even consider how to defend himself. He's trying to figure out how to protect himself, how to set himself up for the future. Okay? Now, this also shows that he's lazy because I'm sure he could have dug a hole. So it shows a bit about his attitude. He would rather steal than do something with his hand. He wasn't putting his hands to something so he couldn't prosper. Okay? So he was lazy. It says that he didn't want to dig. Then what was the other thing? I'm ashamed to beg. So it's showing that he's even got pride. He doesn't want to ask people for help. He doesn't want to beg. Okay? His values were completely messed up. That's basically what it's saying. So this reveals a lot about this steward, and the Bible calls him an unjust steward. So it's not a good steward. There's something we can learn from him, but we shouldn't copy him. So in other words, don't steal from your master. Amen? Okay, easy to read version in verse 4 says, "I know what I will do." So now he's come up with a solution. "I will do something to make friends so that when I lose my job, they will welcome me into their home." That's pretty clever, don't you think? How to make friends and influence people. Yeah, he's wanting to set himself up so that someone will look after him. Obviously, up until now, he hasn't used the money in a way which would cause people to want to look after him. He's been self-centered. He's been selfish with the use of his money. But now he's thinking, how can I use I'm still a steward of he's still a steward. He's still got control over his master's finances, and he's thinking, how can I use these finances to set myself up for success before I get fired? I've been fired, but while I've still got control, you know, that's why if you fire someone in the finance department, they leave straight away. You don't wait for them to get everything, you know, nicely tied up, and they'll take everything and go. You know, so that's a bit interesting in this story. But you know, he had used the master's money for immediate gratification, basically. Okay, now he's thinking about stealing more money from his master, who's caught him out, but using the money to influence his future. He wants to take the money, make some friends, because you can make friends through money. So he's wanting to make some friends from the money that he's got, so that it can affect his future. Okay? He wants to steal some more. Stealing is bad. But he wants to steal so that he can affect his future with the money that he's got. Make some friends. Okay? So this is what he did. The Living Bible from verse 5 to 6 says, so he invited each one who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. Okay? So now he's the guy who's being fired. But now he's calling everyone who owes his master money, he's calling them to discuss their situations. Not his situation, discuss their situation. Okay? And he's very generous with someone else's money. It says, he asked the first one, how much do you owe my master? My debt is 850 gallons of olive oil. The man replied, yes, here is the contract you signed, the accountant told him. Tear it up and write another one for half that much. So now he's discounting everyone that owes his master something, he's discounting them. So it's a form of stealing, but he's also making himself some friends. How many of you would love it if someone came and discounted your debt? Yeah, hey, you know what? You only owe 10% on that. Yeah, that's quite something. Verse 7, how much do you owe him? He asked the next man. 1,000 bushels of wheat was the reply. Here, the accountant said, take your note and replace it with one for 800 bushels. So he's just going around and discounting all these debts. Okay, he's making himself friends. Stealing is bad, but there's a wise principle in what he's doing. So we're not wanting to copy the thievery. Amen? It's not good to be a thief, but there's something wise in here, and we know that by verse 8, where the Lord commends the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Okay, so the master, when he finds out about what the servant is doing, what does he do? He commends him. How many of you would commend a thief? There's something in here that we need to take note of. He commends a thief, okay, because he had done wisely. So it's not the stealing which is wise, but there's something. He used the money to affect his future, to make friends, okay? And then it goes on, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light, and we'll look at that in a moment. The Living Bible in verse 8 starts off and it says, the rich man had to admire the rascal for being so shrewd. So this guy was a rascal, but he was being admired by the master. Okay? Shrewd means wise, clever, far-sighted. He was seeing, for the first time, he was seeing beyond his now. So, this is a good principle for all of us to write down or take note of. Wisdom is seeing beyond the now with finances. Often we just, you know, it's a hand to mouth. But wisdom is using what we've got to affect our futures. Okay, that's what the master was commending him for. Okay, this also says volumes about the master himself, because it shows that this guy was rich, but he had also learned that money wasn't the true wealth. Money isn't the true asset. We looked at this last week. Money can come and money can go. The true thing is the blessing of God which is inside of you. You can lose everything and it's okay. Why? Because no one can steal the blessing from you, and you can't even outsin the blessing in you. It's in you by grace. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you received that blessing. You're in Christ. You're blessed. And so everything's taken away from you. You just keep putting your hand to something and the blessing flows and prosperity comes. You can get everything that you've lost back and more. Thought you'd be excited about that one. I mean, that's setting us up for success. That shows that we should be the most prosperous people on the face of the earth. Okay? The rich man had learned that the blessing of God was the real asset. Okay? Now, once again, it's not wise to steal, but it's wise to use money to affect your future. Okay, look at verse 9. It says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves." Now, who's speaking? Jesus is speaking. Everyone say, Jesus is speaking. Okay, it's not Shane, it's Jesus. "Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness." Mammon means money, that or wealth. "That when you fail," which means literally die, "they may receive you into everlasting habitations," talking about eternity. Okay? Let's read that again. "Make to yourselves friends of money," of wealth, the wealth of unrighteousness, "that when ye fail," when you literally die, "they may receive you into everlasting habitations." Okay? Now, firstly, in this respect, going back to the previous verse, which says, "The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of the light," this is what it's talking about in verse 9. Okay, it's saying that in this respect, unbelievers are wiser than believers mostly. Because unbelievers prepare for old age better than a lot of believers. Okay? Let me say it like this. Unbelievers prepare for old age better than believers prepare for eternity. We live with the here and now in mind more than we live with eternity in mind. We're eternal beings. You're going to live forever. Your body will waste away, but you, inside your body, you're going to live forever. Okay? Keeping that in mind, we should be thinking more of eternity than just here and now. But most of us are too concerned with what's going on here than to think of what's coming. Okay? So we should be using our money, the money that comes our way, to impact eternity, to impact our futures, I would say, firstly, futures in the here and now, but also our eternity, so that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. It's not saying God's going to accept you or reject you based on your giving. But what it is saying is that people in heaven will be waiting to greet you based on how you made friends with money. Now, I'm not talking about your friend sitting next to you, but this is talking about impacting eternity. We can take something carnal and something that can burn, something that will not last forever, something like money, and impact eternity with it. Okay? You know, when we go to on mission trips, and when we go to Albania, or we've got Carl and Alicia in Albania, and when we send money and they're reaching people there, or even when we're reaching people here who haven't been reached yet, that money, as soon as you let go of it and you're giving it towards reaching people for Jesus, it's impacting eternity straight away, so that you can be received into everlasting habitations. It's saying received as in welcome. Now, this morning, I trust that, you know, if you came late, then maybe you didn't get welcomed at the door. But if you came in time, then there was someone to receive you at the door. Someone to welcome you at the door. Okay? How many of you want someone to welcome you at the door? In everlasting habitation. That's what this is talking about. We can have friends in heaven because we're using money to help get them saved. Something which can be very ungodly. Money is powerful. It can cause good or evil. Yeah, I can use money and try and tempt you, and maybe you'll give in, maybe you won't, to do something wrong. Okay? It depends how much influence you've allowed money to have on you, if that'll determine the outcome of that situation. But I can also use money to influence people for good. I can bless you with some money, and you'll be happy. Or you can give money to a mission trip, and we send people, and they reach people who don't know Jesus, and they get saved, or whatever. But the point is that money is influence, for bad or good, depends on how you use it. Okay, so the unjust steward realized that he could use his money to affect his future. Up until now, he's just been eating it or squandering it or using it self-centeredly. But now, he's realized that he can use it to affect his future. We as believers should also realize this. Our money can affect our eternal futures. Okay? We can't take money to heaven, but we can take carnal money and turn it into changed lives. That this is awesome. Yeah, if this isn't exciting you, it's fine. But just ask God to help you understand it then. Because if you understand this, it realizes that the mission of the believer to be a witness in all the world and be an ambassador of Christ, part of that can be accomplished by giving. Finances into the kingdom. Finances into reaching people. Finances into planting more churches. I mean, that's why we exist here. We're not here just to have a nice Sunday morning. It is, that's part of it. But we're here to reach people. We want to reach more people. It takes money to reach people. And so as we're reaching people and people are getting saved, through your giving, you're part of that. Amen. That's awesome. Okay, so your everlasting habitations is speaking of eternity. Basically, you can send your money ahead of you. Okay? But we can only do that by using our money to touch people's lives with the gospel. Now that's what I've been talking about. Verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in least is also unjust in much. We kind of usually look at that verse and use it for everything. And it can apply to everything. But in context, it's talking about money. It's not talking about sweeping. We can use it with sweeping. If you're not willing to sweep, we have this saying that if serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. So if you want to be a leader in the ministry and you want to influence people and you want to lead people, you better get serving because leadership is service anyway. So if you can't do the least, you can't do the greatest. So if you're not willing to sweep, then you'll never stand at the pulpit. Okay, and in context, this verse is talking about money. It's saying that money is the least use of your faith. It's the least area of stewardship. Look at verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, money, who will commit to your trust true riches? So it's bringing the context again and saying this is about money. Everyone say money. It's talking about money. Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, your money isn't yours, it's God's. Yes, it's yours. Yes, it's in your care. But remember, he's the first owner. It belongs to you, but before it belongs to you, it belongs to God. Okay? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So if we aren't good stewards with our wealth, with our finances, how can we be entrusted with more? How can we be entrusted with greater riches? Okay? Finances is the starting point of trusting God. Remember, we said it last week. The reason why Jesus was talking about money so much, more than any other topic in the Bible, is because money is the greatest contender for your heart. Okay? So if we can look at where your heart is by looking at how you're spending and managing your money. Okay, we looked at that in depth last week. But the point is if you can't be entrusted trust God with the promises of finances and provision and stuff, how on earth can you trust God in the area of healing? How can you trust God in the area of whatever else? Well, any of the other promises, your salvation. Your finances, the way that you're spending and all of this is revealing your heart. And if we can't trust God in our finances, we have to question, can we trust God in anything? Because finances is the least use of our faith. Okay, a lack of good stewardship over our finances is one of the biggest reasons that we're not prospering. And it's not God rewarding us for being good stewards, it's good stewardship releases the prosperity. Okay? If we can't do that which is least, we certainly can't do the greater thing. So this puts trusting God with our finances into the realm of absolutely essential. And how do we trust God? Well, one of the ways is we give. That's one of the ways. Taking something carnal, something that can burn, and turning it into changed lives which will last for eternity. Okay? Prosperity starts with seeing yourself as a steward. But what does this mean? Okay? It means that you see that everything that you have firstly belongs to God. Okay? Everything that you have firstly belongs to God. Then it means that you're actually using what's entrusted into your care for its proper purpose. Okay, you've got something in your care. You've got talents. You've got time. You've got, everyone's got time and we all spend it. Amen? You've got talents, you've got time, you've got abilities, and you've got treasure. You've got wealth, you've got finances. Okay? We've got to use what we've got in our care correctly if we want to be good stewards. So it's stewardship of even your talents. Some of you are sitting on your talents. Amen? You're the ones laughing, I'm sure. So we've got, you know, being a good steward is using your talents or your resources, your finances for the right purpose and to bring an increase. And I'm going to talk about that next week. How do we get an increase from our what is entrusted to us? And we're going to be talking about our talents as well with that. But let's look at verse 13. Easy to read version. It says, "You cannot serve two masters at the same time. You will hate one master and love the other, or you will be loyal to one and not care about the other. You cannot serve God and money at the same time." I know that blessed you. Let's read it again. "You cannot serve two masters at the same time." Why? The two masters here are talking about God and money. Why can't you serve them at the same time? Because they're going in opposite directions. It's division. Okay? If you go the direction of, let me put it like this, you can't go in two directions. You'd have to cut yourself in half. Okay? "You will hate the one master and love the other, or you'll be loyal to one and not care about the other. You cannot serve God and money at the same time." So let me start off by saying, it's not wrong to have money, it's not wrong to have wealth, but it's wrong for it to have you. How do you know if money's got you? I'll talk about it in a moment. Okay, but you cannot serve money and God at the same time because they're going in opposite directions. They've got different visions. The one is eternal, the one is temporal. If you're chasing after money, it's a temporary vision. If you're seeking God, it's an eternal vision. Okay? We cannot prioritize making money and having a good relationship with God at the same time. We cannot prioritize making money because you'll never make enough money and you'll always have to work harder. You cannot prioritize seeking money and seeking God at the same time. Okay? Because you won't have a good relationship with God if you're seeking after money. But you can have money if you're seeking after God. That's good. You know, when we should be seeking first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, everything else is added unto us, and then God takes care of our financial needs." That's what the scripture promises. That's what it says. Why don't we see it happening? Maybe we're not in faith. Maybe we're not receiving. Maybe we're in works and we're trying to do it ourselves. There's many different reasons. I don't know all of them, and I don't know your reason, but I can guarantee you that God's not withholding. The Bible shows us clearly that God's blessing is released. You don't have to beg him for his blessing. And you don't have to beg him for prosperity. You just need to put your hand to something. And then the blessing is released. Then prosperity can come. Okay, money is a tool. Everyone say tool. Money is a tool. Okay, and we should use it to accomplish God's agenda. Our agenda and God's agenda should be so close and even the same that when we're using money, it's used to accomplish his heart's desire. Now, like we said last week, part of his heart's desire is that you and your family are well looked after. And so you need to use your finances to look after yourself and your family. Okay? But it's also to help people. Help impact people's eternity. Okay? You cannot use God to get more money to accomplish your own agenda. You cannot use your God to get more money to accomplish your own agenda. It will not work. That's greed. And that's why people don't like talking about prosperity, because we link prosperity with greed, because we think it's about getting more money, using God to get more money to accomplish what I want, to get what I want. But we're supposed to be using money to get more of God's agenda accomplished. And when we use money to get more of God's agenda accomplished, then more money will come to help accomplish more of God's agenda. Because if you can be trusted with the least, you can be trusted with more. Okay? So how do you know if you're serving God or money? That's what I entitled it. I didn't want to say the title, but The title of this message is are you serving God or money? How do you know if you're serving God or money? Well, if you're not being generous towards the advancing of God's kingdom, then you aren't serving God. It's not condemnation, it's liberation. And when we realize we're wrong, we know we can change. Only you have the power to change you. Okay? So if you're not using your finances to advance the kingdom, then you're not serving God, you're serving money. It may be a hard truth to bite this morning, but God loves you and so do I. Amen? We've got to realize that we need to use money for its proper purpose. What's entrusted to us, we need to use it for its proper purpose. And its proper purpose isn't just me, myself, and I. It's me, myself, my family, and God's kingdom. Okay? If you aren't using what you have to look after your family, then you're also serving money and not God. Because part of serving God is looking after your family. So there's twofold there. How do you know if you're serving God or money? Well, number one, are you looking after your family? Because if you're not looking after your family with what you've got, then you're not serving God. Number two, if you're not using your money to invest into the kingdom, to give into the offering bucket, to invest into lives changed, then you're serving yourself, you're serving money, you're not serving God. The point is prosperity isn't selfish, because prosperity isn't about you and your needs. When we prosper, we do experience our needs being met. We do experience the blessing of God. We enjoy a good life. We experience wealth and all of that. And that's awesome. We want that. You know, John 3:2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." So above everything, I wish that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God's heart is that we prosper and be in health, and that we're happy, our soul prospers. But it's not just for you. You aren't just for you. The Bible says you were bought at a price, and we should honor God with our bodies. Part of honoring God with our lives is we're an ambassador of Christ, and using our resources, using what He's given us to be able to bring glory to Him. You can't bring glory to Him if you're just focused on yourself. We can only bring glory to Him when we've got His heart. And His heart, He's not focused on Himself. How do you know that? John 3:16. For God so loved, if you're rooted and grounded in love, you won't be focused on yourself. You won't be self-centered. In any area, not just finances. For God so loved the world that He gave. Why did God give? And He gave His only Son. He gave generously. He gave everything. He gave excessively. Why did He give excessively? Because He loved. Love was His motivation for giving. He didn't give to try and get something from us. He gave because He wanted to give everything to us. That's, if you go read in, Ephesians 5 in the Message Bible. It says God's love wasn't self-seeking. He didn't give to get something from us. He gave because He is love. He wanted to just give us. He wanted to express His love towards us. Okay, so for God so loved, His motivation was love. Our motivation for giving should also be love, not fear. You've seen it. You are blessed already whether you give or not. Whether you look after your family or not, you are blessed. But if you're not looking after your family and not giving, then it's not a wise steward. Wise stewardship is using the resources that you've got wisely. Okay, not being only concerned with your own needs, but being selfless. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Remember, money is the greatest contender for your heart. You've got God wanting your heart. You've got money wanting your heart. That's why Jesus spoke about money. If you feel like money's got a grip on you, give it away. That's the quickest way to deal with your heart. And, then you have to trust God. But the point is that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. We looked at that quite a bit last week. If we aren't giving into the kingdom, like I said, our hearts truly aren't in the kingdom. Life is not about money. Some of you might be upset with me right now because your life is all about money. But life is not about money, it's about God. It's about relationship with God. Jesus came to bring us relationship with God, not money. Jesus came to bring you an intimate relationship with God which will last for eternity. He didn't come to bring you money. Now money's great. We all want more. But God is more greater. He is awesome. You know, if the economy crashed and we didn't have any more money in the world, it should be okay because we've got God. Okay, so prosperity starts with seeing yourself as a steward or a manager. This means that you see that everything that you've got is entrusted to you from God, and it means that you're using what's entrusted to you correctly and wisely. Okay, you're investing into your future now, you're investing into your future for eternity, and you're looking after your family. Amen? Father, I want to thank you that money is a tool. It's not something which should control us. It's something which we can use to impact eternity. It's something that we can use to be a blessing to our family. It's something that we can use to make a difference in the world. I thank you, Father, that you have blessed us independent of our performance. I thank you, Father, that you've given us your blessing and that we can release that just by putting our hands to something, by exercising our faith, Father. We know that you're the source of blessing. You're the source of prosperity. And so we just thank you for that, Father. You are good. We can't prosper without you, Father. We can't prosper truly without you. We can't prosper in the area of our finances, our health, and our emotions without you. We can maybe prosper in one of those areas by ourselves, but it's not going to be successful. Thank you that you want us to prosper in every area, in our health, in our finances, and in our emotions. And so we look to you, Father, and we thank you that you're helping us to be able to trust you more, rely on your promises, and step out in faith in giving, step out in faith in looking after our families better, stepping out in faith in putting our hands to things and seeing the prosperity manifest as the blessing flows, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.